Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. And we'll continue. I found another sermon about Joseph. I thought I was finished last Sunday, but I found something else I want to show you. Genesis chapter 45. And we'll just read a few verses here. And if you've been here the last few Sundays, we've been talking about Joseph, the coat of many colors, and Joseph being thrown into the pit by his brethren. And then he's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him, and he gets thrown in prison for something he didn't do. And then all of a sudden he interprets a dream of Pharaoh, and he winds up second in command. Second man in charge over all the land of Egypt. Very powerful position. As if a governor, overseer, and God has put him in that place. And we saw when if you don't go through the pit, you don't go through the prison, so you won't make it to the palace and you won't be anything. We won't be fit for anything if you don't go through some hard times during your life. That's just life. And so now Joseph gets into the second in command. He's sitting there on his throne, and his brothers come in because there's a famine back in Canaan where they just come from, and it forces them to come to Egypt and ask for corn, ask for bread. We're hungry. It's a famine in the land, and you have to go. And Pharaoh says, well, if you want anything, you got to go see Joseph. Well, they didn't know that's their brother. And so they go in there before Joseph, and boy, he just, you know, just gives them down the road a little bit and says, all right, go back and get my brother, my little brother that I've never seen before. Bring him back. And he brings him back, and then they reveal, Joseph reveals himself, says, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother, the one you threw in the pit. And you may have sold me. You may have said, but God sent me here where I'm at. He fell on their necks and kissed them. Now we come to the where we want to be at today. In Genesis 45, Joseph, this is what he says. He says, Pharaoh, I'm going to just tell you what it says. We're going to read it in a minute. Pharaoh, I want my family here in Egypt with me. Pharaoh says, well, help yourself. I got all these wagons out here. Get all the wagons you need. Load them up with bread, corn, steak, iced tea, whatever you need. And go get your daddy. Go get your mama. Go get your wives and your brother's wives and their kids and all your nephews and anybody else wants to get on a wagon. Go send them wagons and tell them, come on. Whatever you need, Joseph, is at your disposal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Genesis 45, look at verse number 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye. Lade your beasts and go and get unto you the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. And ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now, thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff. Hey, folks, he said, don't even pack your stuff. We got better stuff here than what you got at the house. Leave your stuff there and just use our stuff. Okay, don't shout. Your little ones and all this stuff. Verse 20, and regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. The children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pence of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Now you look down at about verse number 25 for time's sake. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over the land of Egypt. Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Boy, I wish I could stop right there and preach half a day on that. Once you see Him, it is enough. Once you see the wagons coming, that's enough. You ain't got to see nothing else. That's all you need to see as to know that Joseph is alive. All you need to know is Jesus is alive. That's enough. That's Old Testament, New Testament. He is enough. Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. I pray right now, God, you'll help us. Lord, we need your help. Our bodies are tired, but Lord, our spirit is willing and we need to preach. And Lord, I just pray you'd preach through us. And Lord, thank you for the wagons that's loaded down with benefits. Lord, I pray you'd bless these, your people, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Boy, don't you believe when Jacob, the daddy of Joseph, saw them wagons are coming? Boy, he didn't know. He done been lied to by the brethren. He said that Joseph is dead. Here's his coat. It's bloody. And they faked all that whole story. And Joseph said, Jacob said, I'll never see my son again. And boy, when the brothers come back and said, hey, Joseph lives. He said, I don't know about that. Y'all lied to me before. But when he saw the wagons, he said, oh, my son does live, and he's the governor. I'm telling you what, Jacob found out that his son was living. Aren't you glad to know the son is living? Oh, he found out that his son was not only living, he found out that his son was Lord. He found out not only that he lived and that he was Lord, but he loved his family. Oh, y'all gonna love this one. Not only did they find out that Joseph lived and that he was Lord and that he loved his family, but they found out Joseph was loaded. Woo! They found out he was loaded. And then, not only that, they found out that he was longing to see them. Oh, friend, can you not picture that with Jesus Christ? My friend, once you find out he's living, he's not only living, he's Lord. He loves his folks. He's loaded, hallelujah, and he's longing to see you. Well, that's a sermon within itself, but I got to get it on these wagons. I'm telling you, I thought about preaching this in Spanish, but I'm telling you. I just feel like preaching a whole sermon without being interrupted. I was over there, had to preach a little bit, had to wait for him to tell what I said. And then by the time he told what I said, I forgot what I was telling myself. It just downhill from there. But this morning, I want to talk to you about these wagons. I'm going to give you three long points about these wagons before we go to the house today. Number one, the wagons were sent. Number one, the wagons were sent. Verse 19, Pharaoh commanded. Thou art commanded. You get these wagons. Listen, it didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by happenstance. It happened because the king sent them wagons on purpose to go pick up Joseph's family. Thank God for the grace that was sent to my house one day. And God knew all of my time. He knew everything about it. Thank the Lord when the wagon showed up at my house. I got saved by God's marvelous grace. And it had never been the same sense. The wagon didn't make a wrong turn, didn't go down the wrong road. It came on purpose. Grace came by my house because somebody sent it that way. Let me say something about the wagons being sent. Number one, the king sent the wagons. They wasn't wagons from the dollar store. They wasn't wagons from the secondhand store. They was wagons from the royal stable. Hallelujah. And they had the seal of the king on the side of the wagon, the emblem of the kingdom. Our friend, the king didn't know Jacob from Adam's house cat. He didn't know Jacob, had never met Jacob, didn't know his family other than Joseph. He didn't know nothing about it. But he didn't have to know anything about him. He sent the wagons anyway. He sent a truckload of grace. He said, you go to their house, pick them up, and bring them back this way. That's how you were saved, by the goodness of the heart of Pharaoh, the goodness of the grace of God. We didn't deserve it. God didn't have to do it. But my friend, God took notice of who we were and where we were and what we needed where we were. And He commanded the wagons to come by our way. The king sent it that way. And number two, the wagons arrived on the merit of somebody else. Well, let me say it one more time. Let me just say it one more time. The wagons showed up on the merits of somebody else. I hear somebody ask Jacob, said, Jacob, how do you know Pharaoh? I don't know Pharaoh. Well, you got to know him. His wagons are in your front yard. Boy, you must have really done something to deserve these wagons. He said, no. I don't know Pharaoh. I mean, I know who he is. I ain't never met him. Boy, I'm telling you what. You got to know him. I ain't never met him. I'm just a nobody. Well, Jacob, you're going to have to explain how you don't know Pharaoh. You ain't done nothing to deserve all these wagons loaded down with all this stuff. How in the world are you sitting in your yard? He says, well, it's got to be because of my son. He said, how do you explain all this stuff? He said, it's because I know the son. I am what I am this morning, not because of anything I've done. It's not by the works. It's not by the deeds. It's not by my efforts. But thank God the reason I'm loaded down with benefits this morning is because the Son, the merit, the full measure of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unmerited favor was bestowed upon me. God didn't even know me. God, ladies and gentlemen, sent Jesus Christ, and the reason I'm saved today is because of the Son, Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show forth the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm telling you what, I got another sermon right here, and I'm going to preach all of them. Chapter 45 and verse number 1, He revealed Himself unto His brethren. That's the revelation of His person. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never know who Jesus is until He reveals Himself to you. And thank the Lord Jesus revealed Himself unto His brethren. And then in verse 3, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, do my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Hey, once you get a revelation of His person, you're going to be troubled at His presence. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you say, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Well, I've always been saved. I was born saved. No, you wasn't born saved. You wasn't born a Christian. You may have been born into a Christian family, but that don't make you a Christian. Well, I've always just been a Christian. No, you hadn't always been a Christian. There has to be a time and a place in your life where you were, something was revealed to you by Jesus Christ and you were troubled at His presence. That's called conviction. That's something we don't hear preaching about anymore. All of this feel good and just, come by Yah, my Lord, come by Yah. Listen, folks, I just want to go to a church that makes me feel good. You better be glad one day you came to church and didn't feel good, and you were scared to death. As a 10-year-old boy, I walked into Trinity Baptist Church on my way to hell, and I heard some old-fashioned preaching, hallelujah, and I got a little scared and a little troubled that I wasn't going to make it just because my daddy was a preacher. I got troubled at his presence. I didn't say, I'm going to stop asking people when they got saved. I'm going to ask them, you remember when you got under conviction? Do you remember when you got troubled? Oh, just bebopping down the aisle, popping your chewing gum and say, yeah, I want to give my life to Christ. He don't want your life. He wants to change your life. Oh, friend, hallelujah. Well, I feel like preaching a little bit. Made himself known. And then there was some trouble at his presence. But look at verse number 4. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. Oh, there's an appeal to draw near. Hey, I think Jesus said something like this, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Jesus Christ, when He makes Himself known unto you, sometimes we'll get troubled under conviction. And then He'll say, come unto me. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Won't you draw near and come a little closer? And then verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself, for you sold me thither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. There's forgiveness at the foot of the cross. There's forgiveness at the foot, ladies and gentlemen, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. When you come in the presence of a holy God, there is forgiveness when you come to the foot of the cross. The wagons were sent. Number two, the wagons were not only sent, but they were seen. Can you imagine in verse number 27? They told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Not only, listen folks, hey, when I was going to church, my dad's, boy, people stand up and testify. Boy, God saved me, and I got saved out of the bar, or I got saved or whatever, and I used to be this, and I used to be that, and God saved me. And boy, I'd sit there and say, boy, that sounds good. But it wasn't until I saw the wagons for myself. You've always heard about it. But then, when you saw the wagons coming for yourself, you got a little excited yourself, because it just didn't happen to so-and-so. It just didn't happen to you. It just didn't happen to them. It happened to me. Boy, when you see it for yourself, you'll notice verse number 27. There's a lot of preaching in here. I got to hurry. But notice, they heard. Jacob, his father, heard all the words of Joseph. Ladies and gentlemen, that's saving grace. You know how you got saved? You didn't get saved by water. You didn't get saved by works. You didn't get saved by wine or a wafer. You got saved by the words of the Son. And His name is Jesus Christ. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. You wasn't saved by a baptistry. You wasn't saved by joining a church. You can join every church in town you want to, and you can be good and be pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I started speaking in Spanish then. And then you can do everything you want to do, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's not because of you, it's all because of the Son. That's saving grace. You heard the words. And matter of fact, Jacob, the daddy, didn't hear them firsthand. He heard them through the other brothers. Listen, hey, you know what we do? You know what they did yesterday, Operate Saturation? They was out there telling the words that come from the Son. They trying to tell the Word. Why? Because that is the Word of God that saves and cleans. Wherewithal shall a young man clean his ways? By taking heed thereunto. The Word of God. That's saving grace. And then in verse 27, you see there's supplying grace. He saw the wagons. There's provision on them wagons. Now, listen, I get criticized a whole lot of times, but I see stuff in there in the middle of the verses where there's just blank page. I see them boys, them wagons pull up the front yard. Daddy's old, he's in the house, and they done got them a steak out of the wagon. And they bebop in the house eating a steak, hallelujah. I'd have given $100 for a steak last week. One of them boys done jerked out a steak out of that wagon and walked in the house. And Daddy said, boys, where'd you get that steak? He said, Daddy, you ain't going to believe everything on that wagon. There's all kind of stuff on that wagon. And one of them come in wearing a new coat. He said, boy, where'd you get that? He said, it's on the wagon. Hey, where'd y'all get that corn? There's a famine in the land here. Where'd y'all get that cornbread? He said, it was on the wagon. Y'all not getting it yet. But ladies and gentlemen, look at me, by my eyeballs. It ain't got anything to do with me. I don't know nothing about it, but everything. You look at Brother Jeremy and say, boy, he could preach. I hope you like my preaching. I hope you, but if you don't, I'm going to keep on going. But hallelujah, if you say, boy, he's a good preacher, it come on the wagon. It ain't me. It come on the wagon. You say, boy, that so-and-so sure can sing. It ain't him. It come on the wagon. You say, boy, look at them. Look at what they're doing. It ain't about them. They got it off the wagon. If you're blessed, if you got a roof over your head, if you got shoes on your feet, if you got anything worth anything, it didn't come from you. It come off the wagon. Hallelujah. My friend, don't you know? Now, think about this. Think about it. They come in there wearing a new coat, and it fit. And the daddy goes, that's your favorite color, ain't it? Yeah, it's my favorite color. What size you? Is that your size? Yeah. Somebody at the palace must know us. They even know our address. They even know what color I like. They even know my size. When you got to see that in there. I mean, it ain't just worded like that, but it's in there. I mean, don't you know? Well, how did he know we liked that cornbread like that? Well, whoever's up there in the palace knows this family. My friend, it ain't about you. It's all about him. He knows where you're at. He'll put some provisions on the wagon. He knows exactly what you need in your time of need. You say, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Just wait till in the morning when the wagon pull up. There'll be something on that wagon that you're going to need that'll get you through the rest of the week. There's saving grace on the wagon. There's supplying grace on the wagon. And boy, there's serving grace on the wagon. Now, Jacob's in the chair. He's old. Don't even feel like going. He's like, I'm just ready to give up. But when he saw the wagons, he said, I think I can go another day. Well, I look out here and I see some old gray hairs. And I'm telling you, some folks with gray hairs, some with no hairs. But I'm just here to tell you, look here. Some of you are like, well, I just don't know how long I can wait. Just wait on when you see the wagons coming down the road. Your spirit will revive and you'll go down the road another day knowing that the wagons are headed your way. Hallelujah. Well, the wagons, they were sent. And the wagons were seen. But then number three, and it's just like 10 to 12, just for a time check. The wagons were not only sent, they were sent from Pharaoh, they were seen by Jacob and his family when they showed up. But them wagons were safe. Them wagons were safe. I'm gonna say a couple more times till you get it. Them wagons were safe. That means once you got on the wagon, nobody fell off the wagon. Once you got in, I mean, you was in. Them wagons had tall sideboards. Hey, them wagons were safe. And I know this ain't in the Bible either, but I can promise you this. When them wagons pulled up, they said, Daddy, let's wait till in the morning. Let's wait till in the morning before we go. I guarantee you. Them boys woke up just before the sun coming up over the horizon. Them boys woke up. Jacob, the daddy, already sitting on the wagon. Y'all ready? I'm ready. I'm ready to go to the palace to see the sun. Oh, it's safe. It's safe. And my friend, when he sent the wagons, the sun, he sent enough wagons to get the whole family and anybody else that wanted to get on a wagon. Anybody could get on that wanted to get on. The wagons were big enough for the whole family. The wagons were big enough for whoever wanted to get on. And the wagons were sent by the man, by the Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. My friend, if you ain't on the wagon this morning, you better get on the wagon. And the Bible says they went to Egypt in them wagons. That means they were safe. You say, preacher, what about anybody trying to mess? You're not going to mess with a wagon that's got the emblem on the side of it of the king. You're not going to mess with that wagon. You're going to be in trouble if you mess with that wagon. So once you get on the wagon, you're safe. Hallelujah. Oh, the Bible says over there, somewhere in the next chapter, I believe, chapter 46, verse 28, said they went to the land of Goshen. How many of you ever heard that phrase? Well, land of Goshen. It come out of the Bible. They went from the land of Goshen. And they got on them wagons, and listen, them wagons had a purpose. Them wagons were to make sure they're saved, make sure they're supplied, make sure that they arrive safely to the shores of the sweet deliverance. The wagons, hey, wagons, they're going to make it. They're going to make it. Them wagons are going to make it. They made it down there, didn't they? They know the way back. Y'all not getting this. All right, Mark. Me and you finna get on this wagon. All of we on the wagon. Y'all get ready now. We on the wagon. Mark, get your reins out there. Now listen, don't you know in wagons, sometime, Mark, in wagons, and it gets rough. Hey, sometimes life does get rough. It does get bumpy. But guess what? When the bumps all settle, we still on the wagon. I mean, the wagons were safe. I think the Bible says, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means if you own the wagon, you going to the palace to see the Son, he guarantees you going to make it. Hallelujah. Well, there's a work that he's going to finish. And then, ladies and gentlemen, there's a worker he's going to keep for fall. I think Jude, about verse 24, says, now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory and exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. He's able to keep you from falling. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm just going here to tell you. I'm just here to tell you. Y'all see this wagon? Y'all see this wagon? Look here. Look at there. I stole this from the nursery. Hallelujah. There are two little fellows right there. Right there. Boy, one day the wagons came by their house. As a 10-year-old boy, probably like me. And boy, they heard it, said, whoo, look at them wagons of grace pulling up at the house. Boy, they seen them for the first time, their own self. And they asked Jesus Christ to come in their heart and save them. God, put them on the wagon. Put them on the wagon. There's forgiveness in the wagon. They're sealed in the wagon. There's redemption in the wagon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, put them in the wagon. Put them in there. Now, he won't have as much trouble as I am. However this thing goes. Anyway, my illustration may be not so good. Anyway, they're in there. Somehow. There we go. Hallelujah. They're in the wagon. Now you say, preacher, what about life? Sometimes life turns you upside down. Sometimes life will go sideways and boy, you'll be like this. You'll say, Lord, you're trying to kill me. At least you're still in the wagon. You say, Lord, what are you trying to do to me? You may be in the pit. You may be in the prison. You may be dizzy.
You still in the wagon? The wagon. You say, who's the wagon? Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, I'm glad them wagons showed up one day at my house. And boy, they had, hey, you say, preacher, what about once you get on the wagon? Hey, you just look back in the back of the wagon. There's provisions to get you on down the way. I mean, there's stuff back there that gets you on the way. Now you think about this. Think about this. Probably they didn't make it. This ain't in the Bible either, but y'all just give me a second. Probably y'all would agree. Probably they didn't make the whole trip in one day. Probably. Probably they had to stop off and get a little motel room. Probably. And they probably pulled up, walked in the motel, and Jacob walked in there. And that woman said, "Ooh, Jacob, you look rough. Man, how in the world did you get here?" He said, "Ma'am, look out that window and see the wagon I just rode in on." Said, "Jacob, where are you headed?" He said, "Well, I'm headed to the palace." "You know Pharaoh?" "No. But I know the sun." "Well, how are you going to get there?" "On them same wagons that brought me here." Hallelujah. I'm talking about, I think the old song says, "I came this far by grace, leaning on the Lord." How you going to make it? How you going to make it? You better get on the wagon. You say, "Preacher, I'm on the wagon. I'm saved. I'm having a rough time." Look in the wagon. There might be somebody in there for you. Keep you on going. Keep you going. Keep you from quitting. Boy, that innkeeper said, "Hey, where y'all going?" I said, "Well, I'm going to see the sun. He's preparing us a place there." "Well, let me come over here." He said, "I'm going to see the sun. He's preparing us a place to stay." Hey, I think the Bible says he's gone to prepare a place for you. And if he goes to prepare a place for you, he'll send the wagons to come get you and receive you unto himself. That where he is, the wagons are going to be too. And hallelujah. Says something like that. And don't you know? Hey, I'm closing down. Watch this. Don't you know? Jacob and all the family got up on that wagons. They got in them wagons. And don't you know, Jacob leaned out over that wagon, looked back at his house, said, "See ya. Adios." I did learn that. I was longing to say that. Adios. One of these days, we'll bid this world farewell. We'll get on the wagon. Head that way. Look back at this old world. Say, "Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer." I'm going to a land that's fairer than day. And by faith, I can see it afar. Hallelujah. Hey, are you on the wagon this morning? Well, you better get on the wagon this morning. Because I'm going to tell you, listen, he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. He is the best thing that ever happened to me. I can picture old Jacob, old daddy, sitting up in that old, just sitting there. They're hidden in that wagon, bouncing around. He's going to see the sun. And when he gets there, I didn't read it, but it's in the next chapter. He fell on his daddy's neck and they embraced. Matter of fact, I think it says a long while. A good while. Verse 29 to 46. Jacob made ready his chariot, went to meet Israel, his father, the land of Goshen, presented himself to him, fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. Say, "Preacher, what are we going to do when you get to heaven?" You fix and find Jesus. Now listen, I don't try to mess up your theology. I ain't trying to hurt you or nothing like that. But everybody, we always talk. And listen, I've got loved ones there too, and I'm ready to meet them. I want to meet them. I want to see my sister, and I want to see my grandparents. All of them's up there, and they've been up there a good while, and I'm all ready to see them. You with me? But let me help you. The first person you're going to want to see, if you're saved, is the son that got you there. My sister didn't get me there. My grandparents didn't get me there. It's all by the Son. And after you fall on His neck and kiss a while, hallelujah, and ain't nothing, ain't, hey, listen, hey, ain't, now down here in this world, they pervert all that stuff, but up in heaven it's going to be pure. Hallelujah. So don't get your mind all wild about all of that. You get up there, you fall on His neck, and kiss the One that died for you. Then after you see Him about 1,002 years, you won't have to look far for Mama. You won't have to look far for Daddy. I won't have to look far for Sister. I'll look around. Oh, they in line. Well, excuse me. Get on up here. They waiting in line. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I bet you old Jacob right bouncing around. It's probably what he said. Just, he's riding along the way. He said, "You've been my life for so long. You were right when I was wrong. When trouble comes, you was always there to make me smile. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me." He said this, "And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have it be. I'm your child, you're the father. I'm the clay, you are the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all life's joy you've given me. When trouble comes, you're always there to keep me in the wagon. Hallelujah. So come what may, I will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened." Hallelujah. "And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you'd have it be. Lord, I'm your child, you're my father. I'm the clay, you are the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm your child, you're the father. I'm the clay, you are the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me." Won't you stand all over the building? You come and pray if you need to. Several's already started coming and praying. Maybe you won't come and pray. Say, "Preacher, I'm not on the wagon." You need to get on the wagon. You better get on the wagon. And wagons pulled up in front of your house, not to just sit there and look pretty. They come to give you an opportunity to get on. They're not going to make you get on.